girlfriends. Welcome to Girlfriends Chat with Angela Jordan Perry. And I have our special guest today. She and I had a wonderful, amazing interview on season 2, episode 5. So you need to go check that out. This is Shekinah McKinstry. Say hi, Shekinah.
Hi.
So listen, on the interview, and again, I encourage you all to go and listen to that. And I just shared with Shekinah that I am so just amazed and just overjoyed that the new generation of younger homeschooling moms and dads are coming up, and such as Shekinah, with such wisdom and insights and just a different thought process in homeschooling than when I started. I just didn't know. And I was, just figuring it out as I went along. And I'm sure, each of us in our own way would feel like our journey is not the best and we didn't do the best. But being a veteran homeschooler 19 years and looking at this mama who is homeschooling, living in Morocco, and that's what's the cool thing about her interview, not only in her wisdom, but their family have uprooted from out of America and their world schooling in Morocco, Africa. But just to hear her insights and wisdom was just warming, very warming to my heart. So Shekinah, again, I just give you kudos. Yay! Mad applause for where you are and your mindset in this journey. So excellent, excellent job, mama.
Thank you.
You are welcome. You're welcome. Just keep it up. Keep growing. Keep being eccentric and keep being your own unique self. Your kids will not be harmed by it at all. I can tell you that. But in our interview, one of the things that stood out to me that I would love for you to expound on is this idea. This is what you quote. I'm quoting you. You said, teach the child how they need to be taught and not how you want to teach them. And that is a big great responsibility and a great insight and very poignant point of view to have as it relates to homeschooling. First, I want to know, what was it that made you come to this realization that I need to teach my child or my children how they need to be taught, not how I want to teach them? And then, what brought you to that thought process, and how do you even do that? What does that really look like practically? Can you speak to that, Shekinah?
I first came to that realization when nothing that I was trying to do worked. It wasn't working. When I say it didn't work, it wasn't as seamless and as effortless as I thought my message should be. I realized that I was becoming frustrated that our son wasn't learning how I thought he should. It's kind of like when you know how people talk about love languages and mm-hmm. stuff like that. You have to know the person's love language. Well, I'm gonna coin a new term, a child's learning language. Mm-hmm. Children have a learning language, and each child, we all have, innate needs and that's core to our human self, that have to be met. But children are so different. And I think we end up trying to do the same thing, that public schools do mm-hmm. with the one size fits all. It kind of translates over into teaching at home. And we can get upset when our pride and our ego is assaulted. Mm-hmm. When everything that we're trying to do as parents is not working. and we think, oh, the child is the problem. This child can't learn. This child doesn't want to learn. Mm-hmm. It's always focused on the child, that the child has a problem or a disability or a deficit. You know, all these labels come in. Yeah. But nobody reflects back. And so that's what I had to start doing. I had to start self-reflecting, because I said at the end of the day, if our children don't learn, it's still going to reflect negatively back on us either way.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have any school teachers to blame. We can't say, oh, it's that teacher. No, I'm like, I'm the teacher. So I'm the one who has to take the responsibility here.
Yeah.
So having that, our oldest child being, you know, so unique in his ways that he needed to learn, it stretched me to be more humble and open to, you know, change and adapt, and not just try to impose what I thought. So I really didn't have a choice. It was kind of like, okay, if you want this child to learn, you just have to do it. Like, all of the ego, all of the pride, all of the my way or the highway, it just has to go out of the window if you want to teach this child.
Right.
And so I just had to, that became the most important thing, and not just the way that I want it to be. I think that answers the first half of your question. Because I think you asked me, how did I even come to that realization?
Exactly. What was it, something that was, you know, just jumped out, happened? What happened that made you realize, okay, wait a minute. Yeah.
Yeah. So it just got to be too challenging, too much of a power struggle, too much. It was just like there were nobody was winning, you know, and it was taking the joy out of even being at home.
Wow.
It was taking the joy out of it. And I had to take responsibility as the parent, because children can't really set the tone. They just go with whatever is going on around them. They adapt.
Right.
I'm like, I have to get the joy back into our home. I have to. It was, the joy was gone. That's what triggered it.
Gotcha. I gotcha. And the, you know, the other thing, even with myself being a homeschool mom now for 19 years, I will say there are some children, because your tendency is to teach in the way that you yourself learn, or in the way that you're going to model what you always know and have seen and been a part of. And so I was a product of public school. And so that's what I knew how to do for the most part. And there are some children, you know, even out of my 8 children, and you have your 3, but even out of my 8 children, there are some who learn in that traditional way. And they're like, okay, mommy, give me the book. Boom, boom, boom. Get it done. All right, I'm going to do this work page. Boom, boom, boom. I got it. Okay, you want me to, I mean, and so I had many of my children out of the 8 who learned that way. But the tricky thing, I think, is what you're saying, and your first just happened to be the one who's like, nope, that is, I'm not being in that type of box. Heck, nope. That's not how I'm doing it. That's how I learned. Your first one was like that. Well, my first one was very, I mean, she was a girl, and she was just like, okay, mommy, book, yes, whatever you want. She just went with the flow, easy to teach. Then my son came along, and he's like, this don't seem exciting, and so I had to figure out a different way. Well, I didn't know that I needed to figure out a different way to teach him. That was my beginning stages. So I was not as savvy and smart and intelligent wise as you were at the beginning. I tried to keep shoving him into this mold. Now you got to do it this way. You got to school it this way. So I didn't know that I should really be trying to focus in on his learning style. So there are going to be some of our children who would go with the traditional way, but we got to be what you said, get rid of our ego, open our eyes, you know, get rid of the pride and be willing to say, hey, my way is not working with this kid right here. I need to change it. I mean, so you think that's a true assessment? Is there a different learning style between your your 8-year-old and your 5-year-old is the 5-year-old. You said he was very easygoing in our interview. You said he's very easygoing and laid back. Is he one that's going to be more able to go in a traditional way and like that structure versus your older one who don't like that structure in traditional way? What do you think?
I think so. I've seen it even from the beginning that they're polar opposites. I don't even think still though I probably won't even still force it, but I can tell that the 5-year-old is going to be the one. That's just what he's going to want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just the way that he's going to govern himself. I think you also asked me what did it look like, you know, teaching a child the way that they need to learn.
Yes, yes.
And like I said, it really wasn't even until this last year that it started to make sense that the biggest thing that I needed to focus on was their confidence, his confidence. Because when he's confident, you can't tell him anything. They're just gonna take off, shake off with it. And so, you know, I was thinking about how all of that time I spent exasperating him, mm-hmm. you know, trying to make him learn stuff, and it wasn't sticking. So yeah. I had to study him, his yeah. personality, yeah. his quirks, his triggers, even how long he can pay attention to something, you know, when he taps out in his mind. Yeah. You know, all of these things that contribute to how he takes in information.
Yeah.
And, you know how they have like the different terms, like what is it, like the kinesthetic learners, the yeah. you know, I had to really mm-hmm. yes I had to see, okay, now when I did this that day, he doesn't remember it, but when I did a flip, when I said he remembers, you know, because it was the wild flip that stuck out in his mind with the Got information it. Attached to it.
Got it. Yes.
So, you know, whatever I had to do and I have to do to make him remember things, I just do it, even if it feels like this is ridiculous or this is really silly, you know, versus trying to label him as not a good learner or he can't grasp these things. You just I think every child is a good learner.
Yeah.
I don't think everybody is a good teacher. Mm. You know, and that's the truth. You know, we just have to know how to teach them, and we just have to know how to teach them, even if it requires doing a flip so they can remember whatever it is. But that takes time, paying attention to our children and really, really knowing them, and not just pulling more resources offline and trying to, you know, make them feel. You just have to really, really study your children. Our yes. children become our subjects.
Yes, yes. Such wise nuggets, Shekinah. Gosh, you just blow me away. I got a perfect quote. I can't wait to, I'm going to quote you on that, and it's going to be a meme. I just can't wait. I cannot wait to do it. I'm going to do that. Such wisdom. And that is such a good points that she has shared, girlfriends. And what I hope from this chat that we've had together about this subject, that you would now go back and reflect upon even this small little time that we've had together to discuss the subject of teaching your children in the way they need to be taught and not just how we want to teach them, that you reflect, number one, it'd be freeing, and number two, that you would do your due diligence to become the best teacher you can be, because like she kind of said, children are already good learners. It's just us who are not always the best teachers. And so we need to become better teachers and do our part and what that looks like for each child. Those who would go with the traditional way, like I had some children who needed structure. When I tried to unschool them, they were like, "Mommy, I can't do this. No, I need some structure." They needed to be able to go from this thing to the next thing and just progressively go with that flow. And so I had to understand that, okay, everyone can't be a blanket unschooler. Some kids need some traditional books in their life to keep them feel like they're on a pace. And I had several kids who were like that. We just got to know, like she kind of said so very clearly, that our job is to allow our kids to become our subjects so that we can learn them so that we can best teach them. So well said, Shekinah. Thank you so much for this girlfriend chat. And girlfriends, go on over to season 2, episode 5 to hear the full interview with Shekinah. I am sure it's going to encourage you, bless you, and give you a lot of insights and encouragement for your journey. So thanks for joining me on Girlfriends Chat. This is a time where we just get together and chat on some homeschooling topics or focuses from our interview with my interviewee. Okay, until next time, take care. Peace. And take care in Morocco, Africa, Shekinah. Thank you so much for joining and all the best on your journey there.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.